Still no plan in Europe to deal with the debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is in Poland today, cheering on European finance ministers trying to sort through the European debt crisis. Now, those ministers have delayed any more action on bailouts for countries with severe debt problems until next month. Meanwhile, the economy on this side of the Atlantic continues to sputter. Jobs are nowhere to be found. Yet the stock market has been on a bit of a rally. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday morning. Hey, Jill.
Good morning.
So we've already been through one financial crisis. Has enough been done, do you think, in Europe to stop the next one?
Well, I always like to think of Europe as a sick patient, and the central banks have now treated some of the short-term symptoms of the patient's illness, but they really haven't cured the big problem, the spreading disease of debt, and that's the one that infects Greece, Spain, Italy, and Portugal. Until they develop the cure for the larger problem, again, till probably not till October, our patient is in ICU.
So the short answer is no. We're waiting until October, as I mentioned earlier, for more answers. More uncertainty, I'm sure. I mean, how's that going to affect the American economy?
Well, let's use our sick patient analogy again. When your relative's sick, you don't plan a big vacation, right? So right now, U.S. companies are holding back on making plans, whether that means hiring new employees or embarking on big expansions. I think the economy is going to probably stay in a pretty bad holding pattern here at this low level.
Everyone being cautious.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So we've had all this caution and 4 days in a row of stocks going up. I mean, with all the bad news going on, what's got everyone on Wall Street so excited?
Well, let's not forget that as much as we like to use computers, investors are human beings, and we are swayed by emotions. And, you know, just think, you're so happy to hear that the doctor comes out and says the patient is stable, but, you know, it's only in the short term. Remember what happened in 2008 and 2009. The U.S. government injected our sick banking system with a massive dose of TARP. That definitely stabilized the patient. It didn't prevent a lot of suffering in March of 2009 when stocks bottomed out again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a bumpy ride, and I think you may be happy about this week, but you know what? It's going to keep happening until we get to the core issue, which is solving the debt crisis.
Get it by its root.
You got it.
Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch in New York. Jill, thanks.
Take care.
All right, let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher right now by average of 0.5%. The car company Saab is still in financial straits. Saab's creditors are asking a Swedish court today to let the carmaker declare bankruptcy. Its latest attempt to go bankrupt was denied. Saab owes millions of dollars to suppliers and to its employees. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 186 points to close at 11,433. Well, shares of Research in Motion are way down in after-hours trading after the company that makes the BlackBerry smartphone reported its profit fell 58% last quarter. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington with more on how the business of and the landscape of smartphones is changing. Good morning, David.
Hey, Steve.
What's going on with RIM?
Well, look, for a couple of years there, it seemed like the BlackBerry was the smartphone. It was certainly the smartphone for business users. And lately, what we've seen is more and more companies turning toward other brands. So the Apple iPhone, smartphones that run on the Android operating system, devices that started out geared toward consumers, then caught on in the corporate sector. Now think about that and compare it to the BlackBerry, which started out corporate, and now they've got to reach the everyday consumer. And Steve, in the U.S. at least, they haven't done such a great job of that so far.
So can Research in Motion, David, even catch up, or is this, do you think, the end of BlackBerry?
You know, I asked analyst Rachel Lashford that. She's with Canalys in Singapore, and she said the company is still pretty strong globally in the U.K. and South America, and BlackBerry is still the number one smartphone in Indonesia and South Africa. Lashford says she says it's too early to write off Research in Motion, but the company has to come up with a plan for here in the U.S.
It needs to be showing that it's coming to market with innovative devices and showing a path to growth.
And she thinks Research in Motion is doing that. The company has several new products, including some tablet computers, and there's a new operating system in the works, Steve. So the bottom line is you can't count out Research in Motion, at least not yet.
At least not yet. All right, Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. and by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
In about an hour, we're going to get the Thomson Reuters University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. That'll be the latest on how consumers are feeling here in the U.S. But Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports it's tough putting numbers on a feeling.
Economists like Chris Christopher of IHS Global Insight use words like sentiment and confidence to measure something that's pretty hard to measure.
When you talk about confidence, it's a somewhat of a mystical thing.
Like a fortune teller, Christopher predicts what the sentiment numbers will be and then uses those to predict the retail sales that'll follow. And he's been doing it for years. He says small swings in confidence mean little.
But large swings downward or upward, like we saw over the summer, tell you that something's going to give.
Look, there's lies, there's damn lies, and then there's economic data, okay?
Doug Bechtel is a demographer with the University of Georgia. He says the numbers out today are based on a relatively small sample, around 500 telephone surveys. Then there's the way they're interpreted.
One person from one school could view the economy going one way, and another person with another theoretical approach could view it headed in the opposite direction.
But today, economist Chris Christopher says sentiment should be up a bit. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, supermarkets in Argentina are getting some vending machines that'll sell you Lay's potato chips, but the machines don't take coins, they take potatoes. You buy the spud at the store, drop it in the slot, watch a video of the chip-making process, and voila, out comes a warm bag of Lay's potato chips. Sure, Lay's wants you to know those chips are made from real potatoes, but the bag of chips you just bought? Yeah, not from that potato. It was in there the whole time. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org. Get the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Before you start calling people sellouts, remember, everybody's got to eat.
Artists love to create music and love to make money from their music. Everybody is a marketer.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the advertising sounds of Paul Simon. That story, the numbers from Wall Street and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.